During the quietness of a Tuesday night in autumn, we come to you with 30 minutes of Smiling Through, a program of words and music brought to you every week at this time by your friends, the staff and the management of the Arctic Piggly Wiggly Company, located here in Fairbanks. America's old home poet is James Whitcomb Riley. And for the first group of poems for this evening, we're selecting from a volume by Riley called Poems Here at Home. First, I'd like to tell you about a boy's mother, a poem in five verses. My mother, she's so good to me. If I was good as I could be, I couldn't be as good. No, sir. Can't any boy be good as her? She loves me when I'm glad or sad. She loves me when I'm good or bad. And what's the funniest thing, she says, she loves me when she punishes. I don't like her to punish me. That don't hurt. But it hurts to see her crying. Then I cry, and then we both cry and be good again. She loves me when she cuts and sews my little coat and Sunday clothes. And when my pa comes home to tea, she loves him most as much as me. She laughs and tells him all I said and grabs me up and pats my head. And I hug her and hug my pa and love him pretty nigh much as ma. We suspect that this touching poem by Riley was written when he was getting along in years, the absence of little Wesley. Since little Wesley went, the place seems all so strange and still. Why, I miss his yell of grandpap, and I just miss the whippoorwill. And to think I used to scold him for his everlasting noise, when I only recollect him as the best of little boys. I wished 100 times a day that he'd come home tromping in, and all the noise he ever made was twice as loud again. It'd seem like some soft music played on some fine instrument, alongside of this loud lonesomeness since little Wesley went. Of course, the clock don't tick no louder than it used to do. Yet now these times it appears like it had bust itself in two. And let a rooster sudden-like crow summer's closed around, and seems as if mighty night it had lift me off the ground. And same with all the cattle when they bawl around the bars, in the red early morning or the dusk and dew and stars. When the neighbor boys pass, they never stop but just go on, whistling kind of to themselves since little Wesley's gone. And then of nights when mother's setting up and uncommon late, boiling pears or something, and I set and smoke and wait till the moon out through the winder don't look bigger'n a dime, and things keeps getting stiller, stiller, stiller all the time. I've catched myself a wishing like as I clumb on the chair to wind the clock as I've done for more'n 50 year. A wishing at the time had come for us to go to bed with our last prayers and our last tears since little Wesley's dead. ¶¶ And this, I believe, is one of the best known of poems by James Whitcomb Riley. Oh, the days gone by. Oh, the days gone by. The apple in the orchard and the pathway through the rye. The chirrup of the robin and the whistle of the quail as he piped across the meadows sweet as any nightingale. When the bloom was on the clover and the blue was in the sky, and my happy heart brimmed over in the days gone by. In the days gone by, when my naked feet were tripped by the honeysuckle's tangles where the water lilies dipped, and the ripple of the river lipped the moss along the brink where the placid-eyed and lazy-footed cattle come to drink, and the wilting snipe stood fearless of the truant's wayward cry and the splashing of the swimmer in the days gone by. Oh, the days gone by. Oh, the days gone by. The music of the laughing lip, the luster of the eye, the childish faith in fairies and Aladdin's magic ring, the simple, soul-reposing, glad belief in everything. When life was like a story, holding neither sob nor sigh, in the olden, golden glory of the days gone by. Someday, so many tearful eyes are watching for thy dawning light, so many faces toward the skies are weary of the night. So many failing prayers that reel and stagger upward through the storm, and yearning hands that reach and feel no pressure true and warm. So many hearts whose crimson wine is wasted to a purple stain and blurred and streaked with drops of brine upon the lips of pain. Oh, come to them, these weary ones, or if thou still must bide a while, make stronger yet the hope that runs before thy coming smile. And haste and find them where they wait. Let summer winds blow down that way, and all they long for, soon or late, bring round to them some day. Thank you. A listener of Smiling Through has suggested something written by Ben Hur Lampman called Where to Bury a Dog. It's a tribute to the memory of a dog, and it appeared originally in the Portland Oregonian. Here it is, Where to Bury a Dog by Ben Hur Lampman. A subscriber of the Ontario Argus has written to the editor asking, Where shall I bury my dog? We would say to the Ontario man that there are various places in which to bury a dog. We're thinking now of a setter whose coat was flame in the sunshine and who, so far as we're aware, never entertained a mean or unworthy thought. This setter is buried beneath a cherry tree, under 4 feet of garden loam, and at its proper season, the cherry strews petals on the green lawn of his grave. Beneath a cherry tree, or an apple, or any flowering shrubs, he slept in the drowsy summer, or gnawed at a flavorous bone, or lifted head to challenge some strange intruder. These are good places in life of death, yet it is a small matter, for if the dog be well remembered, if sometimes he leaps through your dreams actual as in life, eyes kindling, laughing, begging, it matters not at all where that dog sleeps. On a hill where the wind is unrebuked and the trees are roaring, or beside a stream he knew in puppyhood, or somewhere in the flatness of a pasture land where most exhilarating cattle graze. It is all one to the dog, and all one to you, and nothing is gained, and nothing lost, if memory lives. But there is one best place to bury a dog. If you bury him in this spot, he will come to you when you call, come over the grim, dim frontiers of death, and down the well-remembered path, and to your side again. And though you call a dozen living dogs to heal, they shall not growl at him, nor resent his coming, for he belongs there. People may scoff at you, who see no lightest blade of grass bent by his footfall, who hear no whimper, people who may never really have a dog. Smile at them, for you shall know something that is hidden from them and which is well worth the knowing. The one best place to bury a dog is in the heart of his master. Thank you.